The what do you call it? Excuse me, my sound's just beeping up there. Bing! I get people like me and text me. Okay, no, I'm just.
Hi, Vanya. How's it going?
Hi, Mike Jensen. It is going good. Today's a good day. We had a little
That's wonderful.
Lightning and thunder last night, which is always fun. I don't know. I love weather, although I'm like, please
I actually
don't
do too.
Make fire. Lightning. Okay. Because we're in a very dry area. But it's just, it was nice. And when we woke up, it smelled like rain, you know? It's still going to be 90 degrees today or in sunny California. But yeah.
Yeah, we're doing, it's kind of dank here. It's like cloudy and it's in the 60s, but I don't mind it. I have the next couple of days off. So I also peek behind the scenes for everyone. We usually record on Tuesday.
Truth.
It is Wednesday.
Yes.
We just couldn't, like yesterday, like we had to be places at separate times. So, and then today I was like, I just texted you. I was like, hey, what's your availability like? And you're like, let's go now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Sorry.
So
I'm like, I wanted to be I'm ready now, but yes. Let's gotcha. Go now. Thank you.
So we're flying by the seat of our pants a little bit, but I feel fairly prepared. How's your week been?
Yes, I do too. It's been, you know what? We've been plugging away. I've been, you know, cleaning things up. I actually had an amazing week in that I started teaching some acting scene study.
Ooh,
yes.
Fun.
And
how's that going?
My God, Mike, I've been sort of preparing for it like the last 2 weeks, of course, because it's the curriculum. I'm creating the curriculum and I've done this off and on, but it is something that always comes to me that I'm like, I am called to teach. I don't know why, I can't help it, but I love it so much. So anyways, it was so fun. I'm doing 8-year-olds. They're young, but I'm teaching them. I mean, it's only been one class, but you know, I'm teaching them everything, like about breaking down a script and, you know, beats and super objective. It's maybe boring for most people, but I was telling.
No, I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. And I was telling Adam about it last night, my husband, and I got like overwhelmed with emotion. And I was like, I feel like I'm in a good path here. So I had a great week because we have like a really nice big area, you know, our karaoke area, our music room, that I use that area for the class. And I've got like a big whiteboard set up and a big pin board set up. So we have like notes and and for scene study, for their first scenes, I'm kind of going for what they really want to do. So we're doing like a scene from Harry Potter just to work out all of the tools and exercises that I'm giving them. So it just feels great and I love it and it makes me so gosh darn happy, Mike.
That's really awesome. Yeah. So is it like neighborhood kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm starting out. So, I mean, if you guys have been following us for the past couple of years, I had a company where I was sort of teaching kids. We were doing filmmaking and things like that. Pandemic hit. F the pandemic 100 times. But it definitely, and maybe I should, like Oprah, say thank you, because it did push me in a different direction. I wasn't totally, whatever. I'm more focused now with just like teaching acting. So yes, it's with some neighborhood children, and I'm sort of, this is my beta. But it felt so great. And you know what? I am skilled in this. You know, it's like, I think I'm one of those people, I'm like always second guessing myself and I'm like, I suck, oh God. But in this moment, I'm like, no, I fucking know how to, excuse my language, I know how to teach this. Like I know, because I'm so passionate about it and I'm so, like being a storyteller is, I mean, you know, you do it in song, you do it in being an actor, you do it in all kinds of, and even in our podcast we're sort of telling our own story. So I'm driven. I love it. And I came up with a name. So this course is called We Are Storytellers, because every little bit of us, actors, costume designers, you know, all of the people, we are storytellers working together in an ensemble. Anyways, I'm very excited. I love you, Mike. What'd you do this week?
I love that. Yeah, it's so funny that you brought up Harry Potter, because I wasn't going to talk about this. I mean, not that I wasn't gonna talk about this, but like it wasn't gonna be a thing that I brought up. But it's funny because I finally got around to reading the script of the Cursed Child play.
Oh, interesting.
And it's really funny. And I know it bumps me out. And we've had this conversation.
Same.
I've had this conversation with many people about like how much I love Harry Potter and how it bums me out now that there's this sort of tarnish on it because of J.K. Rowling's stance on trans people. And I guess for me, I've had to just sort of not let that go, like, because I think it's an important thing to remember. Yeah. But like Harry Potter, my whole point of this is that reading the play, which I think the play is fine, for the record, I don't think that it's like the top of the canon.
Okay.
Like I think those books are so incredible, and the play is very good, and there are things about it that I think are really, really interesting and really well done. And visually, it's stunning if you get a chance to see it. Like it's a masterpiece as far as like stagecraft goes. But it's funny to me that I've been reading it, you know, mostly on the subway as I've been going to and from work, that it just the insane emotional connection. And I didn't read these books as a child.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
I
didn't.
Read these books as like, no, I was like in my 30s when these books came out.
I was in my 20s, I think. Because I remember reading them when 20s. I was in college.
I was not in college. I was definitely in New York, like, you know, being an adult reading Harry Potter.
So good.
But it's funny that. And I think I've said this before, maybe not here, that like I remember like reading the first book and being like, I get it. Like, I get why they're popular. Like, they're very, they're kind of kids' books, but they're very it's good storytelling. And then like getting to the second book and being like, someone's cursed this broom. Ah, like being feeling
yeah.
very like, you know, like
invested.
It gets you. Like,
yeah.
It, yeah, 100%. So it's funny how reading the play.
Yeah.
And it's mostly whenever it references things in the book. The point of the story is that I have been weeping on the subway reading the
wow.
play. Not even just because of the play, but because of what it evokes when you look back on that journey of
yeah.
those seven books and like where it takes you. It really is masterful storytelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, it sucks that there's kind of a cloud over it now.
I
but
know.
I refuse to let go. I love them so
well,
much. I think that they're
yeah.
beautiful stories.
I think so, too. I agree with you 100%. We are actually doing a scene from the Chamber of Secrets, one of the scenes we're doing, and it's the scene with Dobby and Harry for the first time, and it's so good. You know, it's like he's in, anyway, I'm not going to go into the scene, but it's a whole thing with the house elf too. That layer.
Yeah.
It's just intense.
There's so much to it. There's so
yeah.
much of those books that are just like masterful. I will also say to, you know, a quick you know, Sunday was Father's Day, and it was really hard. It was a really hard day
you.
For me.
Yeah,
and I, you know, I got to go and have dinner with Annabelle. We went and had, you know, nachos and tacos and margaritas and got to like have a nice
Good.
Evening. And I reached out to my sister and we talked a little bit. And but it was definitely like you know, this is, you know, the first you're in big trouble, Vanya. I'm just kidding.
What?
But I don't know if you remember this, but you know, the first Father's Day after my dad had passed away is the day you moved out of my building.
Oh, I don't remember that. I definitely blocked that out. Holy
shit. I remember helping you move, and it was very emotional for, you know, multiple reasons. I was
yeah.
so sad that you were leaving my building. And then I remember like going to work, and it was when I think that Dana was still working at the restaurant at the time, and it sort of her being like, how are you doing? And me being like, it's not a good day. It's
oh.
a rough day. And then like this one was tough because, you know, usually even on Father's Day, I would at least like call my mom
yeah.
and kind of like talk about dad. And so it was a tough day, but it, you know, I had my moment, and I had my sort of little emotional breakdown in my room.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, I got to go have dinner with a friend, and it's just, you know, grief is such a strange thing because you just don't know when it's going to hit you. And I really woke up thinking that I was fine and, you know, was mostly fine. And then it just hits you and boom. And I don't have a lot of wise words about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was tough. But that wasn't my week. That was a day. And I sort of wanted to tell a different story. And once again, it's funny how the conversation we're having today is so different from this conversation we would have had yesterday.
Yeah.
Because yesterday happened.
Right.
So instead of recording with you yesterday, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do my laundry, which for those that don't live in New York City, you don't know what doing your laundry
it's a whole
means.
Thing. It's a yeah. It's a half a day at least.
It is. And I was like, well, I have an hour and a half. Can I do this in an hour and a half? And I will say that I did.
Good.
It was quite the drama because I, you know, first you get all your stuff together and, you know, I don't have laundry in my building. A lot of New Yorkers now, I shouldn't say a lot, but a good amount of New Yorkers now do have laundry, and it's sort of a becoming a standard thing.
Well, that's nice.
But I have a laundry. Yeah, that is nice. I've never experienced it, but good for all of you. Right. But my laundromat's not that far away. It's just, you know, it's just yonder, just down the street a bit. And I have my little 1 year old baby shoe yeah. here that I keep, dollars and quarters in. And thankfully, Annabelle, during dinner, had been like, oh, I have quarters. Do you want them for laundry? And I was like, yeah, that will come in handy. I got myself together and I gathered my money and I went to the laundromat and I legitimately had exactly to the quarter enough to do my wash, not to dry my clothes, just to do my wash.
Okay.
And not even because usually on the washing side of things, like I'll do like an extra cycle and a like heavily soiled is what the setting is. Because yeah. I only do my... Full disclosure, I only do laundry once a month. I have enough of everything to get through a 30-day period. But at that point, I'm like, I need to wash yeah. this laundry. Like, I need to, you know. So I was able to do that. And then this is just such, like, once again, just to illustrate New York. So then I don't have any cash on me because I used to wait tables and get right. cash at the end of the night. And I don't anymore. So now, like, it all goes. So, and then I don't want to use an ATM because then it's like a $4 ATM fee.
Some bullshit.
Plus your bank. Yeah, it's insane. So I was like, all right, so what can I do? So I'm going to go to the grocery store. I'm going to buy things that I don't need. But I'm basically going to, I bought detergent for the future. I bought bleach for the future.
So you
like,
do.
I was like, I'll buy some
sure,
things.
You
right.
need that.
I will one day use these things. And then, like, don't use your credit card. You have to use your debit card in order to, like, get cash back. So I did. And then I got to the laundromat and I was like, great, I have some money. But then I hadn't brought my dryer sheets. It's a whole,
oh,
like, it was just a
honey.
Whole process.
Oh, honey.
So my so I had to, like, buy dryer sheets at the laundromat, which now I don't use, like, anything that's fragranced or, like, scented.
Oh, yeah.
Which. It's, so anyways, my clothes all smell like bounce, and it's fine, but I got my laundry done, and there's one more part of the story, but I'm going to save it for later, and that's just it. That's just living in New York. That's
oh
the
God.
Drama of trying
it's
to
intense.
Do your laundry. Well, it's really
laundry
intense.
Laundry might have been the thing that pushed me out because of having kids. I was like, oh, now I have to do more laundry. I have to do somebody else's laundry. I was like, this is breaking my soul and spirit, but.
And I feel like also there are, like, my laundromat recently updated all of their equipment, which on one hand is good because it's much more efficient. But it's still all coin based. Like a lot of them now,
yeah,
you can
you should
at least
be able to
use
just
a
like
card.
Tap
no, it's still all quarters in my laundromat.
Also, it was on Sunday, and I guess Monday observed Juneteenth, which you know
yes.
I have known what this was, but I just feel like it's finally hitting the zeitgeist. Like I feel like the whole world is kind of, or the whole nation is kind of understanding. And so, like, if you don't know, which hopefully you do, but if you don't, it's a holiday that's celebrated on June 19th to commemorate the emancipation of enslaved people in the U.S. And this, it's so effed up because it was like everybody was emancipated in 1862, except in Texas, where they're like, the slave owners were like, we want one more crop season. And like, it's just disgusting. Anyways, in 1865 is when the Civil War ended and they were declared free under the 1862 Emancipation Proclamation. Because I remember growing up only hearing about the Emancipation Proclamation. I didn't know. And it's so crazy because I, you know, my parents are, well, I am a first generation American. So learning about this, it's just like, and I'm not saying I'm not, I don't know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it's just so effed up and warped. And it just makes me sad and sick. But I'm happy that we're learning about it because we have to learn about it. And like what's going on in America where like people are like, don't talk about critical race. I'm just like, you, what? It's truth. This thing's happened. Help.
Right.
Help.
Yeah. It's really, there was the thing that I just saw posted somewhere about like, if you recently didn't know about Juneteenth, what else don't you know?
Right.
And the idea that there are so many things in our, and this weird struggle against education that we have in our country, this
so
weird struggle we have against enlightenment. It's very, and also just the things that we do get to an understanding of and then kind of go, oh, huh. Yeah, that's weird. Like, it's so weird that there are still statues of, like, Robert E. Lee in this country. Yeah. Like, can you imagine in Germany if there were just still statues of, like, Hitler? Like, it's so weird that, like, it wouldn't happen. Like, it is the weird state of this country where we're, like, unable to just be reasonable and be like, that's insane. It's insane that we have monuments to people who were pro-slavery.
It's crazy,
like, that's
town.
Insane. It's insane. And listen, I'm learning. Like, I'm not, like, my friend Elise recently was like, remember a few years ago when you thought that Apple made up this thing called Juneteenth and put it in your calendar? Because I didn't know what it was. Right. Like, remember one day going to my calendar and being like, what is this Juneteenth thing that showed up in my calendar? Yeah. I want, you know, we should want to learn. We should want to know more, and we should want to be better people than
absolutely. I do. And what you said about, like, how this country is afraid of, like, enlightening our people, which there was a whole thing, and I'm like, just praying that it's, like, one crazy person, but, like, where some senator or somebody wanted to take out any social emotional learning, which just means that you get to feel your feelings and learn how to deal with your feelings. I'm like, why would you? They're like, that's for the home. So we're just gonna have more, like, messed up, like, emotionally stunted people. Like, it just boggles my mind why they're, it's like the common sense of things that will make us better people. It's education, understanding Juneteenth, understanding why we're better when we allow ourselves to have emotions, men.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a lot.
It's
I'm sorry.
It's funny how as we have these, I love it. And I also love how, like, as we have these conversations, like, this is going to reverberate because I'm not done with this topic.
Okay, good.
Because I want to get into things that we're digging. Would you like to go first? Do you have anything in particular you'd like to talk about this week?
So my digging, it kind of goes into, yes. Okay, fine. I'll go. Because it kind of, it's a balance. It's kind of it's warped digging. So this week have been really enjoying, and I wanted to make my way through the whole season. I've been really enjoying on Netflix a series called God's Favorite Idiot. And it has Melissa McCarthy in it, and her husband, who's a creator also, but he's the main actor, is Ben Falcone.
Yeah.
And Leslie Bibb is in it, and Kevin Dunn, my friend Daniel's uncle. Anyways, I've been enjoying it. I wrote it down. A tech support employee becomes the unwitting messenger of God. It's fantastical. It's silly. It almost reminds me of the IT Crowd, that old British TV series. It's weird, it's quirky, and I've been, like, really just enjoying it. Everyone on the internet really doesn't like this. They're like, another wet blanket from Melissa McCarthy and, you know, Ben Falcone. And I couldn't help but love it, because when they're acting together, you just see the love. It tickled me to watch them performing together. But I will say, this is where it goes into my, like, what the H. I don't think this thing is going to get picked up for a second season. The last episode is a total cliffhanger.
Oh.
And I am, like, furious. And I don't feel like I get this furious about stuff. I know. I would say I'm digging God's Favorite Idiot. I don't know if you will, because apparently a lot of people didn't. But I love what Melissa McCarthy's, her costumes were amazing. And it's just fun. I don't know. But I'm also mad now, because I'm not going to get any closure if there's no second season. So I didn't mean to bring it to a negative, but that's my digging. But I'm feeling, I'm having feelings about it.
I gotcha. You know, it's something, this is once again kind of like going outside to, like, talk about overall. I kind of love when our diggings are just things that are, like, it doesn't have to be a recommendation. It doesn't have to be like, everyone's going to love this. I love it when it's just like, here's just a thing that I'm experiencing.
Yeah,
you know, again, we're going to go back to, like, why this conversation is so different today than it would have been yesterday. Because what I was going to talk about, and I'm still going to talk about it, was, you know, there are a couple of books that I've really wanted to own for going from, like, a couple years to, like, many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both books about theater. And one is called Everything Was Possible, The Birth of the Musical Follies.
Oh,
about
fun.
The Stephen Sondheim Musical Follies. And the other is called Putting It Together, How Stephen Sondheim and I Created Sunday in the Park with George by James Lapine. I've wanted to own them both since they came out. And last week I was like, just go buy them. Like, just go and, yeah. And so it's not that I was going to talk about those books, but I was going to say, like, and I'm not for, conspicuous consumption, like, that grosses me out. Like, I don't think you should buy things just to buy things. But I do think there's a certain, we sometimes get in, we're like, I'll buy that someday, or I'll get that someday, or, like, I don't need that right now.
Yeah.
So what I was going to be like, hey, if there's that thing that you've really wanted, like, let yourself get it. Like, let yourself have it. Yeah. Like, don't, you don't need to put those things off forever. But then something happened.
Uh-oh.
Then yesterday happened. And I, last night, was watching, you know, I am watching Julia now. What else am I watching? I'm watching Severance, which I get, like, people are really into. It's a little too weird and sci-fi-y for me, and it's a lot of philosophical conversation, uh-huh. but it's great performances. I'm gonna stay with it. But then I was like, what do I want to watch, like, to finish out my night with? Oh, I've been meaning to watch, and this is it. Ready?
Yeah.
Those You've Known on HBO Max. It's a documentary about the 15th reunion concert of Spring Awakening.
Oh!
And, you know, when we were talking about the Tonys, one of the moments that I didn't bring up was the entire original cast, including the original band of Spring Awakening, was on the Tony
Holy
Awards.
Holy moly.
And performed a number. And it feels sort of impossible that everyone not only is okay, but like seems to be doing really well. Like that cast, and when you watch this documentary, for those that don't know, Spring Awakening is a musical. It was on Broadway in 2006. It had been in development for like 5 years, I want to say. It was at the Atlantic Theater Company. It is a musical with very modern rock music based on a 1800s German play.
Yeah.
This is what the reverberation that I wanted to talk about education. And it's all about what happens when we don't educate our children.
Yeah.
It's all about what happens when we don't tell children what life is and what can happen and the ramifications of that, and I, which is so true, and it's so, and it's also, Spring Awakening is that show that came out and everyone loved, and I have this weird theory that then the Tonys happened and it won like 8 Tony Awards, and then anyone that saw it after the Tonys didn't like it, and I don't know if it was a hype thing, like I don't know if it was that like people were like it like didn't live up to the hype, but I also, here was the thing that I thought watching this documentary, cuz the documentary is amazing, it covers like 3 periods of time all at once. It covers the concert, it covers the rehearsals for the concert, it covers the original production. It does such an amazing job of stringing it all together and telling you the basic story of the musical. There are things I could critique the production. I could critique things about the Broadway production for sure. What I think it does so incredibly well, and what I think some people had a hard time with watching it, I don't know there's ever been a work of art that I've ever seen that so fully encompasses the feelings of being a teenager.
Yes.
It is messy. It is uncomfortable. It is so, in some ways, hard to take in, because I think we sometimes forget how hard it is to be a teenager.
Yeah.
So, for a number of reasons, I just think this documentary is so incredibly well done. And to see all of these people, also, like, just who knew that the guy with the weird, like, loopy hairdo would end up being, like, Skylar Astin, who's, like, super cute guy. Like, anyways, it's just, it's fun to watch it for so many reasons. I 100% recommend it. It's not very, like, an hour and 20-something minutes long. And it great. Reminded me, I remember the night that I saw it. I saw it with my parents, and I don't remember the circumstance other than we weren't sitting together. I was sitting by myself, and my parents were sitting in another part. And I remember being like, I hope my parents are enjoying this, because it's very raw. It's rough. And they loved it. And I remember being like, I want to do an album where I record every song in this. And I just loved it so much.
I would listen to that, Mike. I love it.
Thank you very much. And it's just, it's amazing to see these actors and that they're all still there. And maybe that sounds weird, but the idea that these teenagers, like they were kids when they did this show, and like 15 years later to see them all as adults and all like, once again, I don't know behind the scenes, but they all just seem like thriving, intelligent. Yeah. It was really... I cannot enough recommend checking that on HBO Max. It's a beautiful documentary.
Love it.
So there you go. That's my dig in.
Cannot wait.
Yeah, please, please watch it. I know that you'll love it. Are you? Does was your do without the cliffhanger
no,
of the show?
No, I've got two little like mentions. So I all did right, end cool. up watching the Tonys later. Like I watched a little bit, but like I really fully watched it later. And I'm texting yes. Mike the whole time. I'm like, I'm sure I'm annoying yeah. you. I'm annoying you right now. I'm like, holy shit.
I was
shit.
Like, Vanya is live texting the Tonys
I'm
to
like,
me
so
right now.
I'm so sorry. But I was like, well, you'll forgive me. Just mute me. Uh-huh. No, but the thing that I... And I don't, we don't, we've talked about it so much, but like, how does Broadway get over Michael Jackson being a sexual predator and abuser? I don't know how to, but that's just me. And I'm sorry. Like I can't, cause I can't separate. We've talked about it. I can't separate the artist from the art. It's just ick. It's really upsetting to me. And so and then the other thing, which is just like a honorable mention, but this week I also was live texting Mike as I'm watching Hacks and I'm like, oh God, because there's a moment and I don't want to give anything yeah. away, but there's a moment where she's, so the main, Deborah, the older yeah. comedian woman, the lead, is playing a lesbian cruise, but she thought it was a gay cruise. And she's like, the gays love them. I mean, it's just so ick. And then yeah. she's like, like she has a mental like breakdown and say, at first people are liking her. And then I don't want to, but it's just like, I was like, Mike, this is awful. I cannot handle this. It's just so cringing. But it did get better. And you were right. And we finished the season yeah. last night and I feel good. I really enjoyed that.
Right.
Yeah. Thank yeah. you. It was a good journey.
It was a good journey, and it felt very satisfying. It's funny how there was so much talk of like the surprise that it's coming back for a third season because everyone thought that was like going to be a finale. And I guess that I get it. Like it did feel very satisfying, right. but I'm excited for more stories. Yeah. I think I'm looking forward to a third season.
Yeah,
of that.
Me too. So anyway, that's my could do without.
I like it. I also like that your could do without got an honorable mention.
I know.
mine is purely existential and it's all just me like needing to make a decision because what I could do without is my inability to just like, because you know, I had a really fun time in Fire Island last summer and we like, I want to go back yes. this summer and I'm trying to like, that's all. I just need to make a decision. So my could do without is my own indecisiveness that at one point I was just going to go stay in a hotel again. And then we were kind of looking at like houses and then that's so expensive and that's kind of all. I guess yeah. my other could do without, and it's not a could do without. It's like, I just feel like I should know someone who knows someone who has a little
at
house that
point,
I can stay
you
in
should.
For four
yeah.
days. Right? I'll leave it nicer
well,
than I found
it.
Well, I
did see your old bosses out there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he posted on some Facebook or Instagram, I don't know. And he's
maybe
out
I'll
in the pines.
Hunt,
you should contact
have to hunt
him.
Hunt him down.
Yeah, and be like, would you like me to come say hello to you? I would love to say hello to you. So you do.
I'll bring treats.
You do have a connection. There we go.
All right, I'm going to figure this out. So topic this week, we kind of didn't discuss it fully, but I thought sort of in general, because So You Think You Can Dance yeah. is officially back. We have some, did you watch the newest
I
episode?
I did. And I wanted to rewatch it before we talked, but all I have to say about well, there's an episode from last night, which I haven't watched, right? Or am I wrong? Oh, tonight. Okay. So obviously not up to date, but I am so happy So You Think You Can Dance is back. I just like the performances. It is art. We're watching art. And
yeah.
When I saw the 12 contestants that were, you know, chosen, I was like, okay, all right, yeah, okay, let's see what that one chick who I can't even, what, she's the one that did the, Virginia, I think is her name. They did the hip-hop-y type one. I was like,
is that the very first one?
The very first one. I was like, what the actual,
Virginia, it's
had so much chutzpah that I was not expecting yeah. from her.
Well, it's so funny because if I had another could do without.
Yeah.
And it's funny how I didn't know, don't it always go to show that you don't know what you got till it's gone. Yeah. That like, I didn't realize how much I loved the behind the scenes yeah. rehearsal footage.
Right.
Like it used to kind of annoy yeah. me where I was like, you're giving it away. And now I'm like, oh no, I really needed that. So informative to like watch
okay.
that.
Okay. So thank you, Mike. Cause I didn't realize why I was
yeah,
feeling a little empty.
They took that away. They took it away. And I hope that's not forever. We'll see what happens on the newer episode. But it's so funny that I loved that. They did a routine to drop it like it's hot.
Yes.
And I definitely, when I think it's Leah Remini who has now come in as a judge, and she's like,
oh, yeah.
I can't believe you're a contemporary performer. And I was like, she's a contemporary
yeah.
performer?
Yeah.
Like her hip hop was so good.
And she had the cute
and her attitude,
face.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, holy
so
shit.
So good. You know, if I was going to give any critique, it would have been like, once I realized, I was like, okay, there were moments that they weren't completely together. Yeah. Like they weren't exactly in sync. I also, and I get that they put the show together for a particular reason, because every number that happened, mm-hmm. I was like, no, this is the best number. Yeah. No, this is the best number. Like when we got to No More I Love Yous.
No more I love you. I know.
God, well, first of all, that song is so incredible.
Is that the Thiago one?
I thought was,
Thiago?
Yes. Yeah, that was Thiago. Yeah. So beautiful. And like, once again, so much of this happened later as I would watch more. We're like, they weren't connected the whole time.
Totally.
Like I got that critique. Like they weren't really feeding each other as much as you really wanted them to. Mm-hmm. Cause then you got to like the, I'm Still Standing, that like, oh my gosh, that jive routine, which was so, like the energy was amazing and like never ever let up. Like they just were going. It's so beautiful. And then Holy Moses, the last number of the night. It takes my breath away. Like I've watched it 3 times now.
I need to watch it again because it was so good. I was like, because it was getting really late when we were watching, so I was really tired. I'm like,
sure.
Oh, Adam, rewind. We got to watch that again. So we did watch it the same night again, but I was like, oh my God. And this is why I love the show, because it brings me, it just is, it's what like amazing performances do, where your heart feels like it's going to explode and you're like, I wish I could do that. You know?
Yeah. For the record, it's Alexis and Keaton were the dancers, and he's like a football guy. Like he does dance.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's that funny thing where like,
yeah,
of course, like they're both athleticism. Yeah. Like they're both, because he's not like a typical dancer guy. Like you don't look at him and you're like, oh yeah, a contemporary dancer.
But his mom owned a dance studio.
Right.
So he's been dancing.
But the power and like and their connection, like that was my, like what they did was like, yes, that's the thing that everyone else needs to look at. Like and like her strength. And I was, you know, I actually watched it a second time with Annabelle after we'd gone out to dinner. We went back and watched the episode again.
Fun.
And like, she was kind of pointing out like, just the reality of the situation is, in general, not to, you know, oversimplify things, but in general, like women don't have the same strength, like don't have the same like body strength, particularly upper body strength. And like, she was doing everything that he was doing. All the like they have that moment where they like hit the ground on their hands and toes and then like fly up into the air, and like it was really, really amazing.
I will try to find a clip to share with everyone, because it's
I want to like put the whole thing up. It was such a great number, and I really like, I loved the panel. I thought that they did a great job with critiquing, and
I like
it's
Leah.
It's just fun that I love that it's back.
I was worried.
I like Leah too,
but she's good. She's doing, she knows her lane is a thing.
I think that is true.
I think her lane is, are they emoting? Are they acting? Like,
right.
Because she's not like, is she a dancer? I could be wrong.
No, but I don't think so.
I think her lane is like that, you know?
And I'm going to be totally honest and be an old person right now. I don't know who JoJo Siwa is. Like, I'm unaware of who she is in the world. Okay.
I can
tell you. But I find her to be so smart. Like, her.
She's a dancer. I mean, she's hardcore.
Okay, there you go. That's what I could kind of, I was like, all right, you know about dance.
She was a child on Dance Moms. You know how Maddie, whatever, who dances with Sia?
Yeah.
She's one of those same kids. And then she became a pop star and wore all these big bows. And my daughter loved her. And there's a bunch of songs that are just so saccharine, but whatever. And but now she's come out. She's gay and she's, you know, out and proud, and also really smart when it comes to dance. Thank God. Somebody needed to be. I was like,
well, that was my
Jesus.
Worry. Because that, I was, you know, that's my, the loss of Nigel and Mary.
And
that like, I miss a Mary where like she knew what to say to be like, well, in this particular version of this, your body should blah, 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 blah. Because I don't know those things. I'm not a dancer. So it was educational to me to like listen to what she had to say and watch the dances. So, but yeah, JoJo's been very, I've enjoyed her. Her contribution to the season.
Yeah. Well, I love it. Guys, watch it. We're just going to mention it every week. We're going to
listen. We probably are. Yeah. We probably are. And I did want to really quickly just like tell the backstory, because I would not watch the show back in the day. Like I refused, because I in general don't enjoy competition reality shows. Like I watch Amazing Race and that was kind of it. Mm-hmm. Like I don't really. And then every week, Vanya, this is when you lived in my building, would be like, it's really good. I think you'd like it. I think you should check it out.
Yeah.
And then one day you were like, just come watch one number.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was, and I'm going to forget his name. And he's an amazing, Wade Robson.
There you go. Yeah. I follow Wade Robson.
Wade Robson, an amazing. And that's another one that if you haven't seen it, like YouTube, Ramalama Bang Bang, Wade Robson.
And he's the one that got abused by Michael Jackson.
He's been a little out of the spotlight.
Makes
since,
me sad
because
I want him back.
I agree. His genius, his work is incredible. And I remember you being like, just watch this number.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I turned, and I was like, do you still have the whole episode recorded? Yeah. Because I was like, well, now I have to watch the whole thing. So that was my intro to So You Think You Can Dance, was Wade Robson's Rama Lama Bang Bang, which is still one of the most amazing numbers ever choreographed, if I had to choose.
And remember, his wife was amazing too, Amanda Rodriguez. Yes. She did a bunch of
also incredible.
I miss them both. Please come back. I'm manifesting this.
Please come back. Yeah.
Love it.
So there you go. That's sort of our, do you have anything, you were looking up some random stuff. Did you find
it? You know what? I'm so on fire about storytelling and whatever, but I just think this is interesting. So oral storytelling has been around as long as human language, essentially. And so let's see. I'm reading from Wikipedia, but I love this. Storytelling fulfills the need for human beings to cast their experiences in narrative form. Our ancestors probably gathered around the evening fires and expressed their fears, their beliefs, and their heroism through oral narratives. This long tradition of storytelling is evident in ancient cultures all around the world. And it's community storytelling. And for me, that is acting, that is the theater, that is even dance. I just love it. I love it, Mike. That's my random. My random is just another little blessing towards the storytelling.
I like it. Mine is from, so now I'm going to sort of complete my story about my weird laundry day yesterday, which is that when I was also in the process of like texting with, I have like a group chat that we sort of like text about random stuff. And I was sort of like live texting my experience of trying to do my laundry. And then I was sort of like, well, now I realize that I don't have any dryer sheets. And my friend Elise texted back like, well, do you have any aluminum foil with you? To which my friend Katie was then like, because you forgot your dryer sheets, you definitely remembered your aluminum foil, right? Which was just overall, I thought, was a very funny comment. But did you know that you can put aluminum foil in the dryer as like a dryer sheet that will help it to eliminate static?
Not know that.
So as clothes tumble around and rub against one another in the dryer, they exchange electrons. Throwing a few balls of aluminum in the dryer will fight this. The foil balls will discharge any static buildup that the clothes may experience. Isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
Mike Jensen coming in hot, or should I say Elise?
Elise Castle. That's all Elise Castle.
Laundry hack. That's amazing. Yeah. Thanks, Elise.
Because I feel like it would make your dryer explode.
Fire would definitely be happening at some point.
Nope. That there you go. Don't sue me if your house catches on fire. Sue Elise because it was her idea. But that's it.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my gosh. I'm very curious to go in and go through this, and I hope that we made any sense because this was kind of a fly by the seat of our pants. But I think I had a good time.
I love you, Mike. I did too.
I love you too.
All y'alls. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for spending this time, and thanks for having this conversation with me, Vanya.
Of course you do.
And we'll be back next week.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Gangbang. Nope. Oops.
That's a whole different website.
Wrong. Rama Lama Gangbang. Nope.